Les Hall Show. I'm your host, Les Hall, also known as Inventor on the Forum, or Inventor Alchemy in Second Life. And I'm just playing around with the dials on this circuit, having a good old time. We're gonna have a lot of fun talking about this really cool circuit that I came up with. It's kind of a collection of different circuits that I've been working on for years, and some of them for just a few weeks. We've got a PDF file, and oh, by the way, in case you're not familiar, the show is about electronic circuitry and making music with chips. So let me get some feedback from the chat room on the audio quality. How is the audio quality? Can you hear me? Hello, test 1, 2, 3. Just warming up here, getting ready. Okay, good. Okay. So the show is about music technology. Specifically, we've got a circuit composed of almost entirely CMOS chips. There's one TLO-74 op amp that's used in the microphone circuit, and the rest of it is all complementary metal oxide semiconductor chips from the 1970s. Making music for you today. Plus, of course, an assortment of resistors and capacitors and potentiometers and all sorts of various wholesome goodness that makes a circuit do its job. So, let us take a look at the circuit. Let me turn this music to something that's a little less distracting. Whoa, there we go. And I'm going to post in the chat room the link to the thread and the page on the thread that has the PDF file. If you go to that thread, folks, and go to that link and scroll down to the bottom, it's not too far, just scroll down, you'll see a attachment that I posted called Vocal Boolean Sequencer.pdf. Go ahead and open that up. And, oh, if you're, by the way, this show is now being aired as part of the Chestnut Tree broadcast. So I'm very happy to be part of that amazing show and to have all the new listeners. So if you're listening over the airwaves, hi there. I'm here to bring you a little fun, a little entertainment, a little education, a little intrigue, some weird and wacky sounds. And what's going on with this battery? Wait a minute, I'm going to switch batteries. Got to switch batteries in the middle of the show. In the beginning of the show. Okay, everybody got that PDF file open? If you're listening on the Chestnut Tree, there should have been an introduction telling you where the PDF file is, where you can download it. And I'm gonna switch to the PDF file myself. Go away, email, all these windows on this tiny little monitor. I think I'm gonna have to turn up that music a bit. Got quiet for some reason. Alrighty. There we go. Oh, I know why I got quiet. I used the starve pod. Sorry, I'm a little disorganized. What else is new? Tell me something we don't already know, that you're disorganized and chaotic and a little bit more than confused there, that's all. Okay. Alrighty, back to the PDF file. First page, the Les Hall Show Vocal Boolean Sequencer. www.electromusic.com. Scroll to the next page. And here we have an image. There's some text. I'm not going to read it. You can study it later if you want. There is a schematic file. It is reduced in size, so it's hard to read, but don't worry, we have exploded versions of each of those sub-circuits later in the PDF file, so you can see exactly what's going on. But let's look at it from a zoomed-out perspective. First of all, I'll tell you a little detail that I didn't put in the schematic file. The starve pot. The way that supply starving works is you put a potentiometer on the battery in series with the battery, and then you can turn it way, way down like this. And you don't hear anything, and turn it up a little more, turn it up a bit, and you start to hear some sounds coming in, but they're weird, freaky sounds. Oh, wow, what's that? Okay, turn the volume down. So you can hear me talk. But, the starve pot makes the battery be a bad battery on purpose. It adds a series resistance to the circuit, which, restricts the amount of current that the rest of the circuit, that the circuit receives, and causes it to behave abnormally. Almost like if you were putting a bad mix of air and fuel in a carburetor on an engine, or putting some sand in the gears, you know, it kind of messes it up. But that makes really weird, neat, cool sounds in a music circuit. So, I added a starve pot. And to give you all the super duper particular details, the battery has a diode in series with it, with a positive power supply. Face the diode in the right direction, with a colored band away from the battery terminal. And that keeps you from plugging in the battery in backwards and blowing your circuit up. You don't want to blow up all your chips in one fell swoop. So, stick that diode in there. There's other ways to protect the circuit, but the diode is simple and easy to understand, and it works. Then you put the starve pot. I actually only had 100k ohm, 100,000 ohm potentiometer, and I only really needed 10,000 ohms, or even fewer. So I put a 10,000 ohm resistor in parallel with it, which trims it down. And it makes it a non-linear potentiometer, but we don't even care about linearity here. We just care that we can tweak the pod and get different sounds. Let's turn up the sounds a bit. Okay. Now, before we get going, I'm going to show you something really cool about this circuit. In the upper left of that schematic I drew your attention to, there's a microphone. It's in a little voltage divider with a resistor on the top and the microphone on the bottom. And it goes into some amplifiers, and it goes into a little doohickey that I invented or reinvented. I don't know if it already exists. Seems like every time I create something, someone says, "Oh, I knew about that in 1962. So, I never say I invent something, I say I reinvent it. And sometimes it is an invention, but usually not. Anyway, this gizmo down here with this triangle and the little T next to it is my reinvention of the 4106 oscillator. the old workhorse of the Luneta Kingdom, the Luneta Conspiracy, as it were, the 4106 Oscillator. I added two parts to it, and it made it modulated. And in fact, that oscillator drives the rest of the circuit. It clocks it. And so what I can do, if I can adjust this right, I'm going to turn off the microphone and talk into the microphone on the circuit, not the mic on my desk that you're listening to me through now, but the mic on the circuit. And you'll actually hear the music change as I talk into it. So the circuit actually sort of resonates with my voice, which is really kind of cool. So here goes the desktop mic off, and let's give it a listen. Circuit all the way through all its nefarious, ticklish little details, the complicated network of wires and tangled up resistors and capacitors and potentiometers that make this thing go. All of it varying slightly or somewhat with my voice. Okay. So, we're still on that picture. Once again, microphone and voltage divider in upper left, two-stage amplifier, nothing special about that. Capacitive coupling with a resistive pull-down into a 4106 oscillator makes it modulate. And then, that wire that goes zigzagging up and to the right, I got rid of that. That's not there. And I did change this circuit a little. By the way, I'd like to tell you right now, if you're going to build this circuit or any other circuit that I tell you about, I recommend that you do it in pieces and use whatever test equipment you have, even if it's just a pair of speakers, and listen to it along the way as you go. Microphone you can listen to after the amplifier, the clock, the 4106 oscillator, you can listen to the voice, change it. You can tap off the bits of the circuitry, the digital circuitry I'm about to describe. Tap off the outputs or the intermediate nodes of the analog circuitry. And finally, tap the output and listen to that. And let your ears be your test equipment. This stuff is so simple that you don't even need a voltmeter to build this circuitry. Or at least I don't, because I have a lot of familiarity with it. But you get familiar with it if you've got a background in electronics. You don't need an oscilloscope. You don't need an ohm meter, a voltmeter, a capacitance meter, nothing. Just hook up the circuits, use your data sheets, wire everything up right, and listen as you go. So, now at the output of that 4106 oscillator, it goes down and to the left into a pair of 4040 binary counter chips. And these chips have got what's called toggle flip-flops inside of them. You take a D flip-flop and you feed its Q-bar output back to its input, and it becomes a toggle flip-flop. And we're getting some response in the chat room. Chookum is here, exactly, Les. He just heard me talk about how you should be building with your ears. Chookum is a Luneta expert, and it's very good to have him here in the chat room for the show. Oh, real quick note, in case you're not familiar, you've heard me use the word Luneta a few times. That is a circuitry genre that I'm working in right now, where we use 4000 series CMOS chips. CMOS being a technology that was invented in the 1970s. Or very early 70s, I believe, and is in your computer today. But we use very simplified, old-fashioned versions of CMOS to make our audio circuitry. So, binary counter chips with their toggle flip-flops take the clock, and the first output divides by two. So clock goes tick-tock, tick-tock, and output goes tick-tock, tick-tock. Half the speed, half the rate, half the frequency, twice the period. The next output is half of that speed. And so on and so forth, all the way down for all 12 bits of this first counter chip. And then I take the output, feed it into the input of the other counter chip. I get another 12 bits. So I'm dividing by 24 times. Chookum is being modest. I am no expert. I'm just a tinkerer. Well, he's a regular contributor to electromusic.com forum, and we appreciate his input and his contributions. And he's an alright guy, as far as I know. You never know. But I think he's okay. alright. Enough silliness. Dividing by 24 bits. See, every 10 bits is 1024. So, dividing by 24 bits is 1024 times 1024 times 16, or in other words, dividing by 16 million. So the lowest bit on this counter is changing very quickly, and the next bit is changing half as fast, and so on and so forth. And the last bit is changing 16 million times slower. I don't even use the last bit. I use the lower bits to get the voice modulation business going. Voice modulation. And and then the dividing tends to cancel out the voice modulation because of a property of toggle flip-flops that, oh, how do I explain this? If you put in a square wave that is of any duty cycle, you'll get a 50% duty cycle out of it. And if you keep modulating that square wave, I've discovered by doing this circuit, I never realized it before, successive divisions will remove more and more of the modulation signal, to the point that at the very end you've got almost none of it there. So what I've done is tapped off some of the lower bits to make that modulation occur. So anyway, alrighty, we've got our counters and we've got our bits coming out all modulated by voice as much as we can do. What do we do with them? Well, we form a thing that my friends in the chat room and people who are listening have heard me talk about over and over again. But especially folks on the chestnut tree, you've never heard it before. And it's part of this circuit. It's something that I named the Boolean sequencer. It's an interesting type of music sequencer that I sort of accidentally discovered. It's another reinvention, so it's the second part of this circuit that's sort of an invention, a reinvention sort of thing. And what you do is you take a binary counter and you send its output into some logic. And then you use the logic, sort of a cloud of logic, use the logic outputs to control music things. You can form a control voltage and drive a voltage-controlled oscillator with it. Or you can do as I'm doing here, just clock it at audio rates and listen to the outputs themselves. So I've got some NAND gates there. So I've got some NAND gates there. You listening? You listening? Blast your eardrums out, sorry. And they produce four outputs after this cloud of logic. And one of the things I've done is applied a little feedback in the logic, which creates a state machine. I didn't design the state machine. I didn't make the state machine do a certain thing on purpose. I just sort of hooked some of the outputs in feedback. There's only one shown in the lower right of the logic section on the circuit diagram. But I added another one inside of feeding back all the way to the very input of the logic cloud. And what that does is it gives us different music each time we hear it. Like, I can disconnect the battery. And when I disconnect the battery, the music stops. I like to do that once in a while to draw your attention. And the music stops, and then the counter, the supply voltage goes down to zero, and the counter loses its state. The logic loses its information. And when I plug it in again, it makes a different sound. Thank you. sort of scramble up that state machine as well by starving it of current. And when I bring it back to life, fed them into a linear CMOS section. There are 1, 2, 3 linear CMOS amplifiers in a two-stage, you know, two inputs going into the third one, sort of a Y configuration, taking in 4 inputs and producing 1 output. I've designed these linear CMOS circuits in such a way as to be musically interesting. Because square waves, while they are kind of interesting and you can listen to the music inherent in the rhythm of the square waves, they're somewhat harsh. What you need is intermediate values. So I came up with this circuit that gives us intermediate values, and the more sections you chain together, the more intermediate values you get. I've only chained together 2 sections, plus an amplifier and a final output amplifier section. So, we didn't get too much analog-y sounding. It still sounds kind of blippy and beepy in a way. But anyway, so you got those 3 combining the logic outputs to a single signal. Then there's an amplifier, and I made another amplifier to combine the voice. But later, I removed that because I didn't want to send the voice straight out to the output. Rather, I wanted to modulate the music with the voice.
Gobbledygook details as we
progress through this PDF file, and you can listen to the circuit respond to my voice. Test 1, 2, 3, test. All right, tell you what, let's scroll to the end of the file. I want to show you a cool picture, because this file is a bunch of schematics, and schematics are interesting enough. But oscilloscope pictures are even more interesting. And I have a question from Chukum. Can you adjust the pitch by voice? And the answer, Chukum, is, believe it or not, that's exactly what I'm doing. In fact, I can increase the effect by removing a capacitor. There. That should be a little bit more of a vocal effect. I don't know, I can't really hear the difference. There, I put the capacitor back in. Let's see here. Pardon my squeaky chair. What I can do is back off the gain on the microphone circuit. And you might hear the voice a little more clearly. I'll turn off the desktop microphone and let's try it.
Starts kind of near the middle. And
swoops down. Oh no, wait, oh, I'm sorry. It's at the top, sweeps across, and then down at an angle. And then as I increase in steps, it goes backwards and backwards and backwards until it starts out near the middle and sweeps down to get flat. Now this is exactly the kind of thing that we want in music circuitry. In this kind of music circuitry anyway. What we want is something that has a linear and a non-linear component. Because we have square waves coming out of our digital logic section, and we want to convert those square waves into different levels between ground and VDD. And this circuit will do exactly that, and the oscilloscope plot shows it. So, scrolling back up, let's take a look at page 3 of the circuit of the PDF file. And here we have the microphone circuit and the 4106 modulated oscillator. On the upper left, you see the voltage divider with a 10K resistor and the microphone. This is coupled through a 0.1 microfarad capacitor into an inverting amplifier with a potentiometer and feedback, with a gain of 100, and the two resistors below it, they're not labeled, but they're either 10K or 100K, doesn't matter, as long as they're equal, they create artificial ground for the circuit, for the chip, because it's running on a single supply voltage. Let's mix things up a little bit. Section with a fixed gain of 10, and that produces our voice output signal, and it's fairly clear. I've listened to it, let's see, well, I could hook it up, but let's get through the circuit. This goes into the 4106 oscillator. Now let's talk about the 4106 oscillator. Normally, you just have the feedback resistor and the input capacitor, and that input capacitor goes to ground. And this thing oscillates, and you can adjust the frequency by adjusting the potentiometer, because it changes the RC time constant of the feedback loop, and that changes how much time the input signal takes to cross the hysteresis window of the Schmitt trigger input of the 4106 inverter. So the thing just sits there and oscillates. But what I did is I said, what if we lift the ground end of that capacitor and apply a signal to the input? What's it gonna do? I don't know, but I think it's gonna change it somehow. Because it's not ground anymore, it's a changing signal. And I did that, and it didn't really work, but it sort of worked. And then I realized, oh, it needs to be pulled down to ground. So I put another capacitor and a resistor to pull it down. And I tried 100K, and it didn't really work, but it worked better So then I tried a 10K, and that worked. And recently I changed it to a 1K, but I don't think it really matters. 10K, 1K, something in that ballpark is going to work on this circuit. Pardon my squeaking chair noise, I'm just in my seat. So that's the oscillator. And when I adjust the potentiometer, I'm adjusting the potentiometer on the oscillator right now. And it changes the music from a high frequency to a medium frequency to a low frequency. Well, let's hear that. Picture on page 4. No, page 5. And here we have the digital Boolean sequencer. Oh, what's going on in the chat room? Bluebell thinks it sounds like chickens now. Chickens ate the insects. Okay, man. You want me to make it sound like something different? I'll just rearrange the wires. Chicken now. Let's see how it sounds with the mic off. I like it. Shookum says, yes, more wire changing. Bluehell says the chickens went into space. So okay, according to Bluehell, who has a rather vivid imagination, we started out with insects, and then these chickens show up and eat the insects. And then they hop on a UFO and go into outer space. Of course. Play with the starve button a little bit. Oh, I like this one.
Mm-hmm.
Scared the cricket. Oh, he's back. Let's current starve the cricket. Let's change the wires. More crickets. All kinds of possibilities with this circuit. It's really a pretty cool circuit. So anyway, back to page 5 of 9, we have... 5 of 9. We have... Oh no, it's 7 of 9. Never mind. Here we have the Boolean sequencer with the counters and the logic and the state memory feedback and 4 outputs. There you go. Now, page 6 of 9. Let's zoom in. And we see this circuit, which is a linear CMOS amplifier, but I have tweaked it around a bit. Normally, with a linear CMOS amplifier, you got your feedback resistor, you got your input resistor, you set a gain of 10, like we talked about 2 weeks ago, and AC couple the input. With an an optional feedback capacitor of smaller value to do compensation so the thing to help prevent it from oscillating. But what I did was I said, well, I don't want a gain of 10. I want a gain of 1 or 2 or something like that. So I put an input voltage divider into place. And the way that works is it lowers the apparent impedance as seen from the input node of the inverting inverting gate back to the source. So it effectively gives it a gain of 10. However, it lowers the input signal before boosting it by 10 by means of the divider. And then I just put a single capacitor on the input side in the middle of the gizmo circuit instead of putting two separate capacitors on the input. And maybe another one needed a ground. So just one capacitor instead of two or three. And that worked out pretty well. So we have three of those, with one of them taking the inputs of the other two. And then we have a gain stage and another gain stage. It turns out to be too much gain, so I trimmed it down a bit. I almost want to check and see what it would be like if I were to remove one of those gain stages. Where would that wire be? It's right here.
Thank you.
the output amplifier and the output circuit, which I have changed a lot, so it's all different now. But we did our own little twist that made it practical for modern guitars. So we made a contribution to the state of the art. And I'll tell you all about that stuff next week. Disconnect that output. Okay, now you just hear my voice. Alrighty, what I'm going to do is probe some different sections of the circuit. Here is the... Well, let me probe the right place. There we go. This is the output of the microphone circuit itself. And me coughing. Well, you never know what to expect on amateur radio. So, this is the microphone. See, watch me. See, I'll rub the microphone. Delicately. I think the microphone enjoyed that. But I'm not sure. Anyway, that's the output of the microphone. So if you were building this circuit, first of all, you could build it without the microphone section and just start with a 4106 oscillator and later add the modulation and add the microphone. But if you want to start from the beginning, you can make the microphone circuit. See, here is the microphone itself. You hear nothing because it's very quiet. Here it is after one stage of amplification. When I tap it, you can hear the tapping, but when I talk, you really can't hear it. But here it is at the very output, and at the very output, you can kind of hear it. Now, this is the potentiometer. When I turn the potentiometer all the way down, the voice goes away. When I turn it up to medium, you hear my voice. And when I turn it up to maximum, I'll turn the desktop mic off. You hear my voice distorted. Here it is at medium. This is the proper, pretty much what you're going to get out of a cheesy microphone circuit like this one, done on a breadboard. You can hear, well, anyway, that's approximately my voice. And now I increase the gain, and increase the gain, and increase the gain, until here it clips. But let me turn it down a bit. There, now you can really hear the voice. I'm speaking directly through the circuit with the microphone connected to the output. And you hear me fairly clearly. Now let's go over and tap the output of the 4106 oscillator. Here is the output of the 4106 oscillator. And there it is with the gain turned all the way off. It's a bit loud, so I'm turning down the output volume. So you can hear how crazy that sounds. That's a square wave oscillator modulated by voice. Now I'm going to remove that wire. And by the way, I should mention that I'm working on a breadboard here. And breadboards have pretty poor electrical characteristics from a noise standpoint. So what happens is you get some of the circuit noise from the rest of the circuit sound, all mixed in all throughout the circuit. So that's why you hear the voice and you also hear this stuff. So this is the output. This is the output of the 4106 oscillator. And now I'm going to go over and tap some of the low outputs of the binary counter. And I'm going to turn the desktop mic off. Mic's back on. I've been going through the different counter outputs. This is the input to the counter. You can hear it. Here is the first bit output of the counter. Audio check, test audio. Here is the second bit output of the counter. Lower in frequency. The third bit. believe this is the fifth bit. Getting deeper in frequency and less voice modulation. Sixth one. Seventh. You can still hear the voice modulation to some extent. Where's the eighth one? Eighth bit is around here somewhere. Seventh bit. Eighth bit, I think, is there. No, here's the eighth. Ninth is here. Tenth is here. Here's the 11th bit. And this is the 12th bit, or the final output of the first binary counter chip. You just hear an occasional click. But what I'm doing here is I'm going through the circuit and tapping different nodes to give you a feel for what you can do as you build a circuit without using test equipment. You listen to the different stages of the circuit. Here's the first bit of the next binary counter chip. Getting slower and slower. Now, of course, if I crank up the oscillator, the speed will go up. That's about as fast as it goes. I can slow it down, too. Tick. We wait. Tick. And so on. Set it back. Alrighty. Now let's probe the outputs of some of the logic gates. Here's some of the early gates. Here's another. Here's another. Listen as you go. Whoa! Hear it all sweep and swoon as I talk. Kind of crazy. Turn the mic off. Here's the next output. Here's another output. Let's see. And, well, here's the output of the circuit prior to the output amplifier. An intermediate node. And here's the final output. Let's put it back where it belongs. Enough probing around. Turn it back up. So there you see how you can tap a circuit as you build it and create it. Oh, and by the way, I suppose I ought to wind up the show sooner or later, because I've talked about the circuit, and I have been through the whole thing and described it to you, sometimes in gory technical detail, other times just playing around with it. And joking around a little bit. Well, let me end with one note, one comment. I'd like your feedback. I'd like to get feedback from you about the broadcast. I've thought about maybe doing a introductory section where I teach basic circuit analysis, because I'm getting into some stuff here that I don't want to say it's advanced, because a beginner can jump right into this and everything, but it's kind of like a lot to understand all at once. And maybe I should do part of the show in an introductory way, and then do some intermediate topics and some advanced topics. A mix, perhaps. Or, if you write in to the show, maybe I can respond to some of your comments, or call into the show. Maybe I can respond to some of your comments. But you tell me. Tell me what you want on the show. And I may or may not do what you want. I'm just going to have fun. Because after all, it's all about having fun. Right? Right. It's all about having fun. Well, let me tell them in the chat room. I'm finishing up here. So, why don't we do a little bit of a jam? Well, we've been jamming the whole time. Let me crank up the volume, turn off the mic, and jam for a little bit. And then we'll end the broadcast. So, thank you all for listening. Hope you had a good time. Listen to some crazy sounds. And really enjoyed this bizarre little circuit that I've created. And other people have created. It's a community thing. It really is. It's like a team effort and stuff. But I had a blast. So, this is Les Hall signing out. Inventor Alchemy saying goodbye. Let's jam for a few minutes. Then see ya.